All right, in this lesson, you'll learn why productivity is closely aligned with tidiness and how to use that knowledge to increase your own productivity through a three-step process to make a place for all the things that might be holding you back from getting your best work done. But before we get started, I need to make a disclaimer. So when I say tidy, I don't necessarily mean perfectly organized and clean. Tidiness, you see, is a relative term. What I mean when I say tidy is that you have control over the environmental factors that allow you to be as productive as possible. Like we learned in a previous lesson, even a pile of clothes in the corner is a system in that it's a kind of, organized chaos. Especially if having that smelly pile of laundry helps you achieve other, more important things. Even Albert Einstein used to joke around that, if a cluttered desk is the sign of a cluttered mind, then an empty desk must be a sign of something much worse. Also, like we recently learned, if you can control your environment, you can control your productivity. So, tidy is a relative term, and the goal of giving everything a place is to make it easier for you to control your environment and, as a result, control your life and your performance. So, we're going to start by focusing on your physical space and the things in your life. But giving everything a place is about much more than just things. So by the end of this lesson, you'll see what I mean. Now, to find a place for all the stuff in your life, you can follow a relatively simple three-step process. The first step of that process is to get the unhelpful things out of the way. When you look around right now, how many of the things that you can see serve an actual and useful purpose in your life or in your work? If you're a type A organizer, then maybe you've got this perfected already. Most of us, though, could use a little help here. If we were perfect, everything we own and everything that surrounds us would be immediately useful, and anything that is not useful would not be around. But life gets messy, and over time, you tend to acquire things that were once useful but no longer are, or things you thought would be useful but never ended up actually using. We've all done that, right? And if you don't have a process to regularly remove these things, then they just sort of build up over time. That used to happen to me a lot because I am what I like to call a reluctant minimalist. So I see the value of keeping the things in my life to a minimum, but once I have something, I become a little bit of a hoarder. I never want to get rid of it. But when something doesn't serve you anymore, you have to cut your ties with it because it becomes a kind of mental drag, a kind of, an anchor that holds you down. And if you're thinking, well, I don't need to get rid of anything, I just need to organize better, let me tell you, it is much easier to simply not have things than it is to organize things. Like we learned earlier in the course, the universe is always headed toward entropy, and we are the ones who create order from the chaos. So the more stuff you have that you don't need, the more time, and much worse, the more energy you're going to spend keeping it organized. Not owning something in the first place, if you can help it, is far superior to organizing it. So step one of the process is to simply take inventory of all the things in your life and simply discard, donate, get rid of, whatever, everything that doesn't provide a tangible benefit to you you know, on a regular basis. And I won't sugarcoat it. That first step is hard. Even things we know we shouldn't be attached to. Now, there are lots of books and systems that you can follow if you want a guide or a map to help you complete this step. And I'll share some of the best ones in the lesson resources. But this step can be done concurrently with the other two. So you don't necessarily have to finish it before moving on. You can get started now with this step and still keep progressing. All right, so what's step two? Step two is organizing what's left. So see why step one's so important? This is where the title of the lesson really comes into play. Everything around you needs a place. Why does everything around you need a place? It needs a place because it is exhausting to not have one. Sounds a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? Isn't it, you know, easier to just toss things wherever than to spend time and effort to, you know, put them where they belong? Well, yeah, it is at first, but then it's a lot harder and it has to be fixed all at once. Think about it the way you would with car maintenance. Which scenario is less stressful? The one where you regularly maintain your car and make sure all its systems are working the way that they're supposed to? Or the one where you ignore maintenance until it breaks down on the side of the road? At first, ignoring maintenance feels like it's saving time. You know, you don't have to go to the shop or, you know, get your hands dirty when nothing's going wrong. You don't have to do any work just to fix a problem that doesn't exist yet. But then stress builds up. Over time, performance starts to wane, and even though the car is still working, you know that you're kind of running on borrowed time. That stress slowly eats away at you. It's low level at first, so you just put up with it, but it builds up the longer you risk it. You know, finally, the car breaks down, you have to have it towed to the shop, and it takes days and a lot of money to fix it. And then if you don't change anything, the whole process repeats itself. It works the same whether it's, you know, kitchen gadgets, papers on your desk, clothes on the floor, doesn't matter. What could have been just a few minutes of work every so often becomes a lot of work with quickly diminishing returns. So I like to do a lot of DIY projects around the house. So I noticed this pattern with my tools, which honestly, I probably have too many of and I need to go back to step one, but I digress. Each of my tools has a place to live in the garage. A little space just for it and nothing else. After I built this little organization system, it took a little more time to put tools away, you know, than just throwing them in a pile on a shelf, but it can be done quickly and I can find anything easily the next time. Also, I just feel a lot more at ease in the garage because there's a level of order around me. Before I had this system, or, you know, let's be honest, when I sometimes get busy and ignore it for a while, things build up until I have to do a lot of work all at once in order to get things back on track. That works, of course, but it takes a tremendous amount of time and effort. And like we all know, finding a lot of time all at once can be pretty hard to do, which makes it easier to put off even longer. The problem sort of, you know, spirals out of control. Now, if I go through all that work to get organized and still don't maintain it, then I get almost no benefit from the huge amount of work that I just did to get organized in the first place. I'll spend, you know, hours on a weekend putting everything away, and a few days later, it's messy again. The do-it-all-at-once approach is this kind of vicious cycle that kills your motivation each time you go through it. You know, you work really hard, everything falls apart again, and then you have to work hard again. It's a lot to do for very little benefit. You know, that is where the magic of staying organized with regular maintenance really shines. You know, perhaps you can see now how those one-minute tasks that you created in a previous lesson can really help you stay organized. So the most important thing you can do when you're in step two is to just find everything a place to live. For each thing that you own, you should know where it belongs, you know, when you're not using it. And it should be as easy as possible to put it there. When something doesn't have a place, it's more likely that it's going to get in your way over and over and become a distraction that keeps you from maintaining productivity. And keep in mind that this can also be done in stages. Remember not to take an all-or-nothing approach. That's too overwhelming. You know, make progress where you can and celebrate that progress when you make it. Okay, now step three is all about expanding step two to the other areas of your life. And when I say that, you know, everything has a place, I really do mean everything, not just physical things, but work and your tasks and relationships and, you know, even emotions and other abstract concepts. So have you ever sat down to do some work only to get stuck wondering if it's, you know, really what you should be doing? You wonder if something else might be a better use of your time. Or, you know, have you ever wanted to get something really important done, but you felt kind of sad or scared or, you know, frustrated about something completely different? Your mind kind of wanders, you know, to another topic. If you've ever let your personal life get in the way of work, or, you know, vice versa, then you've experienced this, and it kills your productivity. And the cause of it is that your other work and even your emotions don't have a place, so they end up competing for attention at inopportune times. So, what can you do about it? How do you give all those things a place? Let's start with a work example. Something simple like, you know, keeping up with your paper filing. If you follow the steps from earlier, you might have a place like an inbox or outbox or, you know, a filing drawer or something for your papers. Personally, I hate paper and I digitize everything. But there's a place for it. Okay, so you have a place in space. Now you need a place in time. Even if you do your best, you know, to keep up with everything, you eventually fall a little behind and you need to catch up. All right, so give that task a time. When you choose, you know, will depend on your own needs. There's no hard and fast rule. It could be once a day, once a week, once a month, or some other timeline entirely. Personally, I save all the boring filing tasks for Friday afternoons. I could do it more frequently, but it doesn't take up any more space or time to do it, you know, to do it weekly. But if I leave it for multiple weeks or a month, it turns into a big task that just gets bigger and bigger as I continue to ignore it. The timeline doesn't really matter, at least not at first. What's important is that you have a scheduled time to do it, because once you do, you can, you know, forget about it until that time. You no longer have to think about it each time there's a decision to make about what to do next. And that's really powerful. So as you start to schedule your time better and better, there are fewer decisions to make, you know, when a block of time comes up, which means that you can get started a lot faster and stay focused a lot easier because there's nothing else to distract you. You know, everything else has its place, and you're not worried about when you'll get to it. Now, do you ever get this perfect? No, of course not. If you're like most of us, there's more to do in a day than you can ever actually make time for. But by running this process over and over, it helps you get better at prioritizing. You start to see and understand the things that you're doing too often and can start to put off. Or, like we went over in the very beginning, you know, just get rid of it altogether. And you start to see what you're not doing often enough and need to make more space for. Slowly but surely, work starts to flow a lot easier. And like I mentioned earlier, this applies to, you know, feelings and emotions. When something frustrating comes up, it can really throw you off your game. If you don't give it a time and a place, you either have to, you know, give up on what you're doing and deal with it immediately, or you let it fester and bother you while you try to focus on other things. But what if you gave it a specific time to process? What if when something upsets you, you tell yourself, okay, I'm going to prioritize what I'm doing right now because it's important. But I'm going to spend 30 minutes, you know, thinking about what's bothering me tonight after dinner. It's like scheduling a date with your thoughts. If you're in the middle of something and your friend texts you and asks if you want to go to have coffee, you probably wouldn't just get up and go, right? You'd figure out a time that works for both of you and meet up then. Well, start doing that with your frustrations and your other emotions. Once they're on the calendar, you no longer need to, you know, worry about them until that time comes. And in fact, it's a lot easier to stay focused and productive. This works really well for worry. So when I find myself worrying, I stop and I put a little mark on my calendar to spend 15 minutes or so just letting all those thoughts play out, you know, sometime later in the day. It's incredibly helpful because not only does it get me back on track, but it also, you know, time boxes it so that I'm not letting it eat up my energy in the background all day long. Okay, so here's what we accomplished in this lesson. First, we learned about the importance of, you know, tidiness for productivity, and we clarified that tidiness is a relative term. You don't have to achieve perfection to get great results. Then we learned the three-step process for slowly tidying up our lives so that we have more energy to give to our important work. That first step is purging and getting rid of things that simply don't serve a purpose anymore. That makes the rest of the process simpler and faster. The second step is giving everything a place. When all our things have a place to live, you don't have to make a new decision each time about where to put it. Staying organized gets a lot easier. And finally, you find a home for all the abstract tasks and even emotions that hold you back when you're trying to be productive. By giving them a specific place or time in the future, you free up your mind to stop worrying about them in that moment and stay focused on your most important work. I recommend you spend some time today thinking through how you can apply this process to just one area of your life, and then go ahead and make an effort to do it. Don't try to tackle everything, you know, at once. It'll quickly get overwhelming. Just pick one small project, you know, maybe your bedroom or your desk or even your refrigerator. Doesn't matter. And just get started there. When you're done, I'll see you in the next lesson.